Blog Talk Radio.
Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha, Od Yehallelu Chasvela, Ashrei Ha'am Shekacha Lo, Ashrei Ha'am She'Adonai Eloha. Tehillah Lenavi, Aromimcha Elohai HaMelech, Avracha Shimcha Leolam Vahed Bechol Yoma Varchaka Vahlela Shimcha Leolam Vahed Gadol Adonai Umulal Meod Zelig Dorato Vecheger Dole Dore Yishabach Maasecha Ugevorotecha Yagidu Ata kevod hodecha, ledivrei nitzotecha asicha, ve'ezuz norotecha yomeru, ugedulatucha asaperena. Zecherav tuvcha yabiyu Vetzidkatcha yeraneinu Chanon verachum Adonai Erech apayim ugdol chaseh Tov Adonai lakol Verachamav al kol ma'asav Yoducha Adonai kol ma'asecha v'chasidecha yevarchucha Kevod malchutcha yomeiru ugvurtcha yedaveiru Lehodil livnei ha'adam gevurutav ukvod hadar malchuto
מלכותך מלכות כל עולמים וממשלתך בכל דור ודור סומך אדוני לכל המופרים וזוקף לכל הכפופים ואתה נותן להם את אוכלם ביתם פותח את ידיך ומסביר לכל חי רצון
צדיק Adonai bechol derachav Vechassid bechol maasav Karov Adonai lechol koreav Lechol asher yikreuhu ve'emet Vetzon yereav yaase Vetshavatam yishma ve'yoshiem Shomer Adonai et kol ahavav et kol harashayim yashmi תהילת אדוני ידבר בי, ויברך כל בשר שם קודשו לעולם ועד. ואנחנו נברך יא מעתה ועד עולם. הללויה, הללויה, אשרי יושבי
Tov and Shalom. Welcome to another broadcast of the Wisdom of Torah, sponsored by Beth Shalom Mashiach, and brought to you on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess, Eliana Bhatia, and today is Monday, June 25th, 2012. And I just want to say good morning to everyone who is listening in the chat room, and good morning to everyone who will listen via archive. What a wonderful time again this morning to be with you, and want to get into Tehillim 17 today, which is really powerful. I'm excited about this Tehillim. And I just wanted to say that we are just excited about being here. A lot of things have been happening on our end. We are moving forward with putting together our little congregation. We have our little building, and we're excited because we're going to be reaching the area where we are here in the Central Valley. We are looking for donations of things. We received a donation of chairs the other night after Shabbat, which is, I'm glad to say, we were looking for chairs. We're looking for dividers. We're looking for other things. And if you go on Facebook and you go to Eliana Bhatia, I have a page on there for Beth Shalom Mashiach. And if you click on that tab, you will see the building. It's a really beautiful building. It's in downtown Merced. And we've been talking to people, and there really is a need. There's a cry in the Central Valley, and we're excited because we are going to be able to connect. My husband and I were down there. We were praying on the other, maybe last Thursday, I believe, and about four or five Hebrew males, young, handsome young men, I would say no more than 25, about four or five of them walked by, and they were just drawn. We could see them being drawn to, you know, the building. We were doing some work there, too, so we had the door locked. But they wanted to come. And I said, this is great, because they felt the connection as they were walking by. And that's exactly what we're looking for. We're looking to reach the Hebrew people. We're looking to connect in the Central Valley, and also to provide teaching that's necessary for them to understand who they are and understand what the plans of the Most High are for His people, so we can turn our captivity. So we're excited about that. A lot of great, great things are going on. If you want to be a part of it and you don't live in the California or the Central Valley, you would like to make a donation, a financial donation, go on to our blog at freshwindoftorah.blogspot.com. I have a little PayPal donation button there. It says help us connect or do something with the Hebrews worldwide. And if you click on that button, you can actually send a donation. We are trying to get things ready because there is such a great, great need. And it seems that the Hebrews out here do not really know who they are. We don't have any great teaching centers like they have in Chicago or New York. So we really want to reach them up here in Northern California, which where I am. We really want to get to them. We really want to let them know who they are. We have a venue now and a place to do it. So we're excited about that. All right. Well, okay. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to open up in prayer, And I'm also going to start reading the Tehillim. I'm going to read it out of two translations because just for impact and for effect, and then we'll go into the discussion of the Tehillim. Okay. Most time, I just want to give you praise this morning. What a wonderful morning. First of all, thank you. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for being the head of my life and for being the source and the strength of my life. Thank you for the wonderful, wonderful words that you've provided to us through Torah, through Tanakh, through your Brit Hadashah, just giving us the confirmation, reconfirmation, the integrity, strength, and equity of your words that were written down for our benefit. Wow, it's so powerful that you, Most High, always having the foresight to plan ahead for future generations. We are not the same people that were living 4,000 or 5,000 years ago when you gave out the Torah. However, we are their descendants, but our world has changed. Much has changed from their understanding to our understanding. The one thing that remains constant is whatever the Most High does is constant. And the Most High does not change. And we can see that through the evidence of looking at the earth. We see 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 year old rock. That rock hasn't changed. We see trees that, you know, stood for thousands of years. We see that the sun and the moon continue. We see the stars. We see that you, Most High, do not change. You're not changeable with the wind, as men are. Men are changeable. Men have ideas. They jump up with something new. They try to force their way, force a change on the people. But the Most High remains constant. So, Most High, I just want to thank you so much because you do not change. And because you do not change, your standards are higher. Your standards of holiness is very, very high, and it's not something that we cannot attain. It is something that we can aspire to. And so I thank you for that. Thank you for that opportunity to aspire to a holy life. Also, we thank you, I thank you, for the work that Messiah Yahushua did on that tree as he was being slain for the transgression of your people, for actually that one sin offering, the Azazel offering, that was the scapegoat that our ancient forefathers were instructed to lay upon that goat that would be led into the wilderness. And Messiah Yahushua became that Azazel for the nation and for all who would come to trust under your wings, Most High. Thank you so much because you are mindful of us again into the future generations by having these recorded, these written recorded messages to us through your Torah and your Tanakh. Now this morning, pray that you would open up the Tehillim with a rich, full-bodied understanding for myself and for my listeners, for all that will stumble across this broadcast, and all praises be due to your name, Most High. All praises be due unto your Most High, in Yahushua's name. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. All right. Let me get started here with this Tehillim. Okay, so the Tehillim is said to be a Tehillim of Dawid again, King, or Melech Dawid, King Dawid. I'm introducing more and more Hebrew. If you've noticed on the broadcast, I'm trying to introduce more, you know, the proper way to say things in the Hebrew. So if you hear something, I always will go back over the English understanding for you so that you do get the understanding there. But Melech Dawid was King David, as we understand it. And I'm going to go ahead and start reading, and this is Tehillim 17, and this is a pretty heavy Tehillim because this Tehillim, as all Tehillims, were written at a time in Melech David's life that he was under a lot of anguish. He was under a lot of trouble. Trouble had come to his house, and we talked about this in earlier broadcasts. Trouble had come to his house because of how he entreated Uriah wife and how he had slept with her and she became pregnant, and Melech David had invited Uriah to come home. Uriah was a strong man, a warrior for him in his army army of Israel, and there was battle going on, and Uriah was very zealous. He really loved Israel. Now, he wasn't Hebrew, but he really loved, you know, the Yah of Israel. He loved Israel as a nation and was part of the nation. And he wanted to, you know, he was fighting. And when this act occurred, the king sent him home, you know, because this woman is pregnant. She's going to start showing here in a couple of months, and it's going to become evident, at least, that she's pregnant. And so he was trying to cover his sin. Melech David was trying to cover his sin. So he sent his, Uriah back home, but Uriah didn't go home. He did not want to take time to spend that time with his wife while his fellow soldiers were fighting. So he didn't go home. And when David realized that he couldn't cover this sin, he just ordered that he be killed, but not through the hand of anyone directly in Israel. But what he ordered was that they put Uriah in the front of the battle. And when the battle began to become fierce and heated up, that the Israeli army would withdraw, thereby leaving Uriah to fight completely alone. So they would actually start stepping backwards while he was out there just fighting, you know, getting consumed in the battle. And then, of course, you know, inadvertently, he was going to be killed because he didn't know he didn't have a backup. He was, you know, he was so strong, he was fighting, and he would be completely, his mind would be completely engaged with his enemy, and he would not have that protection. There was no one to watch his back, basically. So he would, you know, that we knew, he would be killed. And then he himself married Bathsheba. Well, when he did that to an innocent person, especially someone who trusted in the name of the Most High, it brought trouble to David's house. It brought trouble. Now he repented. And even the Mashiach is promised through his lineage. He was a man, you know, he fell. He had weaknesses, and he fell. However, he did repent. He spoke to the Most High. But there were, you know, there are some things that we can do that we can even ask the Most High for forgiveness. We can go before him and ask for it to be cleansed. But because we set it in motion, even though the Most High can cleanse us, give us a new heart, new mind, when we set certain things in motion, it has to play its course, and there's a consequence. It's just like if you're at the top of a very high mountain and it's full of snow and you send one pebble, you know, that mountain is, say, 14,000 feet high in the air, you send one pebble. You could even send a grape seed rolling down that hill, rolling down that mountain, and it will become a mighty avalanche. It will become huge, and it will bring a lot of destruction. So it's the same thing, you know, with David. So here we are into this Tehillim 17, and we're going to read it. But I wanted to give you the backdrop because many of these Tehillims were written as a result of this. Some were written in his youth. Some were written in his older age when he had already established the kingdom, but he also did this great sin against his neighbor, Uriah, and against the Most High's commandments. Thou shalt not cut at thy neighbor's wife. So in this case, this is what is the this is what's happening to Dawid. So I'm going to go ahead and read. It says, "Hear a just cause, Yahuwah. Heed my cry. Listen to my prayer from honest lips. Let my vindication come from you. Let your eyes see what is right. You probed my heart. You visited me at night. And you assayed me without finding evil thoughts. That should not pass my lips. As for what others do, by words from your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps hold steadily to your paths. My feet do not slip. Now, I call on you, Yahuwah, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me. Hear my words. Show how wonderful is your grace, Savior of those who seek at your right hand, refuge from their foes. Protect me like the pupil of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are assailing me, from my deadly enemies who are all around me. They close their heart to compassion. They speak arrogantly with their mouths. They track me down. They surround me. They watch for a chance to bring me to the ground. They are like lions eager to tear the prey, like young lions crouching in ambush. Arise, Yahuwah, confront them. Bring them down. With your word, deliver me from the wicked. With your hand, Yahuwah, from human beings, from people whose portion in life is this world. You fill their stomachs with your treasures. Their children will be satisfied too and will leave their wealth to their little ones. But my prayer in righteousness is to see your face on waking. May I be satisfied with a vision of you." All right, I read that out of the Complete Jewish Bible. I'm going to read it out of the King James. And let me go ahead. All right, it says, "Hear the right, O Yahuwah. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the work of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, and my footsteps, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O Yahuwah. Incline thine heart unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me in the apple as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from the deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Yahuwah, disappoint them. Cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Yahuwah, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose bellies are filled with thy hid treasures. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Okay, now that was beautiful. That was beautifully read in the King James. I really enjoyed that in the King James. Powerful. But the words are still true in each version. Here is what Dawid is saying. Something is happening again. Dawid is as I stated earlier, he's in one of his many battles or tribulation or trials, or something is going on with his enemies. But it's also, if you understood, it's a metaphor for life today. We are dealing with issues today as a Hebrew people and as a people. Anyone who desires to stand and to keep the commandments and the ways of the Most High Yah are going to always come into a situation. You're gonna battle physical people, and you're going to battle spiritual entities that are going to try to stop you, and they may even try to kill you. Because when you purpose and set your mind and heart to do the will of the Most High Yah, you're doing it against the grain of this world, because this world is already fallen. Even though the Most High created this world and all that is in this world, as a matter of fact, the Most High created everything. But because rebellion has entered into many of his created beings that are much more powerful and stronger than we, the seed of Adam, we do not have the strength without the help of the Most High Yah to fight against this evil. So, whenever you purpose your heart, whenever you make up your mind, and you say, I am definitely going to walk in the ways of the Most High Yah, know that you're in for a battle. And the battle doesn't stop. There's no such thing, as long as you're living on this earth, there's no such thing that you're going to get a break. You're not going to get a break. Now, the Most High Yah will allow you to enjoy Shabbat. That's kind of a break. If you keep Shabbat properly, you will have peace on that day. You will have peace on that day. I guarantee if you keep Shabbat properly, you will have peace within that 24-hour period. You will have peace. Now, what will happen? Storms will come on the outside, because when you purpose in your heart that you're going to keep Shabbat, what will happen is it's just like being inside of a house and the rain, all of a sudden there's a rainstorm and there's thunder and there's lightning. But if you stay in the house, you will not become part of the elements. Okay? Meaning, you decide you're going to keep Shabbos. When you really, 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 really decide you're going to really stay and keep Shabbat, you're going to be at home, you're going to rest, people will call you, families will, oh, it's an emergency, you have to be there, this happened, I need you, all kinds of stuff will happen. All kinds of stuff will come at you to make you think you must attend to those matters within that 24-hour period. If you do, if you get out of the comfort of Shabbat, you will be part of the element. You'll get caught up in the menagerie. You'll be in the mix. There's no peace in that mix. So you won't experience the peace promised to you. But if you keep Shabbat properly, if you wait, give it that 24 hours, when you go out to handle the situation, Most High will give you a solution. Things will work out. I guarantee you, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about because I've experienced it. I have experienced it. That's why I can tell you, don't get caught up in the mix. I've had situations, people say, oh, it's an important, it's an emergency. I'm thinking it's an emergency. Get there. It was just to draw me out of the peace of Shabbat. Got in their mix, their mess. I said, oh, you know what? Never again. I'm sorry. You guys handle it yourself next time. It was just a trap. It was a trap. That's why I know what I'm talking about. So if you've never really kept Shabbat and you really want to try, it is a time where you're at home, you're resting. I mean, you're not doing your own business. You don't have to be sleeping all day, but you're at a place of rest. You're in the scripture. You're reading Torah. You're in a place of prayer. You might want to meditate on that day, but basically you're not going to get out and do your busyness, whatever it is you do. You're not going to do it on Shabbat. That's keeping it properly, and you're going to be reverencing the Most High. You're going to be reverencing His and acknowledging His presence. This is your set-aside day. It's the time. It's like your appointment with the Most High. You know, you're in His presence. It's your special day with the Most High. So don't let anyone get you out of that, because it really is just a trap. It's kind of like one of those movies, you know, when they tell the person, kind of like The Exorcist, when they said, don't listen. You know, I think the priest had told him that, you know, don't listen to the voices. They're going to sound like everything. So the possessed person was sounding, you know, real mad. Then it sounded like his mother. Then it sounded, you know, like a child. Well, that, you know, it was all a deception. So that's the same thing. When you're in, you know, when you're keeping Shabbat properly, all those other distractions, they're all deceptions. I can guarantee you that anything that's going on in that 24-hour period, that's not, now someone's sick and their life is, you know, if someone was hit by a car, you know, their life, or they fell ill. I mean, that's different. That's a different thing. Different thing. But I'm talking about people calling you and they're fighting, you know, family members, and somebody's fighting, and they need you to come on Shabbat and help them stop fighting, don't do it. Let them fight. Tell them that if you guys kill each other, I'll pick up the pieces after Shabbat. Don't fight. Don't get caught into it, because that's a deception. If someone, oh, you know, I'm locked out, and you're like 30 miles away, don't go out there. Do not go. Because why? That's too far for you to travel to solve their problem when they can knock on the door and they can use the neighbor's phone, call a locksmith. Or if they have a cell phone, they can use it to call a locksmith. You see what I'm saying? You got to think on your feet. But after Shabbat, hey. But don't let anybody mess up your appointment with the Most High, is what I'm really saying. Because there's peace for you that you need. So here Dawid is, he's in one of his times where his enemies are around him. And he's crying out to the Most High. He's saying, hear the right. Something's going on where he's trying to get the Most High to take note of his cause, that he has been doing right actions. And he wants the Most High to take notice of it. And to hear the cry of his voice, to hear his heart concerning this thing. And to listen. He wants the Most High to listen to the prayer that he's making. He's not lying. He's not telling lies. He's saying, Most High, I'm coming to you with honest lips. I'm speaking to you from my heart, from the integrity of my heart, that I have kept myself in this matter, that is, now I'm being faced with a trial. Now, we also know, as those who will walk with the Most High, we know that there are times where you haven't done anything wrong. Not that you're perfect, but you're just going about your merry way, and you've been going about your merry way, and someone will bring up a railing accusation against your character, against you. They'll lie, and then you all of a sudden you walk through, and it's like, oh my God, what is this? you're automatically in the mix of a trial or some kind of foul thing swirling around you, implicating you in a matter that you were not a part of. I had a situation like that happen to me many years ago. I was homeschooling my children. I had a friend who was also, well, she wasn't really homeschooling, but she wanted to bring the children to me for me to homeschool. Something happened with her daughter. Had gotten cancer, bone cancer. She had taken her daughter to Stanford Hospital. They diagnosed her daughter. I think the kids were about 10, maybe. They had diagnosed her daughter with cancer. What the doctors at Stanford Children's Hospital wanted to do, they wanted to amputate her leg. My friend was very afraid for her 10-year-old daughter. She sought alternative treatment. And all intents and purposes, the doctors were telling her it was real serious. They needed to take this little girl's leg. And I was homeschooling. It kind of turned into a little small cottage school. Anyway, long story short, the friend was very, very afraid. And we were part of a big faith community at the time. We didn't have any understanding. We were Hebrews, so we were part of a very, very large faith community, a big church. And I'm doing my thing with my children because I love my children. I felt that the Most High wanted me to raise my children in His presence. I was doing that. I was trying to do all that I knew how to do that. And other, you know, parents saw me working with my kids, teaching them. My children were very strong in Torah and Tanakh. They really understood. And so other parents wanted that, but they weren't willing to make the same investment in their children that I was making. I was making a very big investment in my children at that time. So I ended up having a few families bring their kids, you know, really begging me, oh, you know, we'll pay you. You know, we want you to teach our children. But what they didn't understand, I had been teaching my children since birth. I had been making an investment since birth. And it was, it wasn't something I just started with homeschooling. This was my way. This was how I lived my life before my children. So what they saw in my children was the result of all of my children's life on earth, because that's what I did, and that's actually what I do. My granddaughters are reflective of it now more than my grandson, and my grandson's sharp as a whip, but he's not in my presence. And I see such a vast difference in the character, the quality of character. My granddaughters glow. Their faces shine because they have deep character, of integrity of character, and they are being taught the way of the Most High. My son is not teaching my grandson this. And my grandson, you know, he's a beautiful boy, but he does not have that glow, because he is not in the light of the Most High's word. And I see it's a difference like night and day. Matter of fact, he's my grandson's oldest, but he's the smallest. My granddaughters eat well. They eat well. They eat lots of fruit, It's like the difference between Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel when they were taken to Babylon. They were not eating the portion of the king's food and wine, but they were eating, you know, the pulse, which was the brown bread, brown rice, you know, vegetables. They were eating good food, wholesome food, and they were in the study of Torah. And they looked better, fairer, fatter than, you know, not fat as in today's obesity children. You know, they're eating a lot of McDonald's, not that fat, but a fairness, a plumpness about them, a beauty that comes from being in the presence of the Most High. And they're not emaciated. They were, you know, beautiful. So my granddaughters have that glow like that, but my grandson does not. And, you know, my daughter-in-law does not want me to have anything to do with him. She always tries to prevent me from spending too much quality time whenever I come. And I don't see him often, but she always tries to keep me from him. But I know that one day I'll have that time with him, But going back to my story, let me get back. I don't want to get off track. And that's very easy for me to get off track. But let me go back. Let me jump back to what I was really saying. My friend's child was part of the school because many of the families saw the difference in my children. They knew I spent that time. So I allowed her daughter to come and study with my children. And during this time where she had this cancer, well, because my friend did not want her daughter to have her leg amputated, she began to run from that particular medical facility, that medical advice, with her minor child. Now, we all know in the United States, even though you gave birth to that child and you are its parent and you actually have the right, if another entity, like a medical institution, feels that they have the best interest, all they want to do is cut the child's leg off. Let's be honest. They weren't going to care for her and care about her soul. They weren't going to care about her emotion, her well-being for the rest of her life after they took her leg. All they wanted to do is perform the surgery and get paid. That's it. Okay? This mother, who had carried the child 9 months, raised the child 10 years, the girl, now she's beautiful, a young lady, is 25 years old. Was that doctor, the medical facility, going to be there in her life intimately like that? No. They just wanted to take the child's leg. So they got Child Protective Services involved against the mother. And they began to search out everywhere where the mother frequented. So word came to this faith community that the Child Protective Services was after the mother because they really were going to take the custody away from the mother through court order so they can cut the child's leg off, let her sit up in a hospital. Now, you just took her from her mother, traumatized her, and then cut her leg off, let her sit up in a hospital for whatever length of time she needed to heal, and then put her in foster care, strangers, to satisfy the doctor. That's what they wanted to do. So the mother didn't want that. She was looking for a better way. And when the medical community decides that they have the only answer, that's all it is. Well, there was a better way, actually, for this little girl. There was a way that she could actually have the cancer removed and put a shunt in her leg so she wouldn't lose her entire leg for the rest of her life. And she is walking on her own feet today. But going back to my story, when it got into the faith community, the mother lied and said I was the one who called Child Protective Services. She withheld the information that it was the doctors because they wanted to amputate her daughter's leg. So I became, here I am, loving my kids, loving the Most High, doing all I can to teach them, having parents beg me to take in their children, and I give in. And invite their children. Kids were totally undisciplined, unbehaved. I mean, wild children. Parents were wild. I was like, why did I do this? But long story short, I'm doing all this to be, good Samaritan, helpful. And then I was lied on a very major issue. I mean, very major. And I remember walking into that faith community and people were attacking me verbally and calling me names and how bad I was. And I couldn't believe it. That mother lied. I don't know why she implicated me. I had nothing to do with it. Matter of fact, I didn't even know she was running from them because I had visited the child at the Stanford Medical Center. And then I knew she had taken the child down onto, I believe it was called City of Hope down in Los Angeles, and they had the best treatment. And we were operating as a school at that time, so we faxed all the information. We were helping her with her homework. We were saying prayers for her. We were doing everything we could to support the family. But I had been horribly lied upon, and it was coming in my face, and I didn't even know at that time where it was coming from. So this is a situation where King Dawid is saying it's similar. Something has happened. He's innocent at this point, just as I was innocent. I didn't know what was going on. I was just hit by stuff. And, you know, let me tell you how treacherous that lie was. Many years later, I mean, like our kids had grown up, I ran into a woman who knew this person that I know, you know. And she confronted me. I didn't really know this lady. And she says, oh, yeah, I remember you. You're the one who called the Child Protective Services on, you know, so-and-so's daughter. And I was like, what? I couldn't believe it. That hit me like 15, 16 years later. And this woman was told a lie, you know, and she believed it. And she took that first opportunity upon meeting me to confront me with this horrendous lie. And I told her, I said, hey, I said, no, I said, you're mistaken. But by that time, the truth had come out. I said, you know, the person was running from, it was the doctors. They were trying to, you know. But anyway, long story short, I ended up talking to this person. But here's how cold-blooded it was. The woman believed that lie for that many years, for 16 years. So even though she met me, I did not resemble any of the remarks that were told about me. The lie had already set in, and it did its damage. She never could really entreat me. She never could, because not only was that one lie told about me, but many, 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 many more. Many, many lies were told on me. And it tainted, in the mind of anyone who believed it without getting the facts, they truly believed it. But many people had met me after that and said, you can't be the same lady. I said, well, I am the lady, and you believe the lie. But I didn't go around trying to defend myself from all the, you know, to all these people. I mean, I just did what I do, and I went on with my life. I mean, you know, I'm glad I have a life. If I didn't have a life, man, that would have destroyed me. I would have had to move out of the state. But you can't run from other people's lies. You know what I'm saying? People are going to talk about you no matter what you do. And I've always been a person all my life that it didn't matter. Nobody controls Eliana but Eliana and the Most High. I don't care what you say about me. It matters not to me. You don't pay my bills. You don't dress me. You don't clothe me. Your words against me do not matter to me. It really doesn't. And my family members will tell you the same thing. I've always been like that. I don't care what people say, it doesn't bother me. If you kill me, then I'll just die. But I tell you what, the Most High will raise me up again. I am not afraid. I don't live in fear. It doesn't matter if you talk about me. It doesn't matter. I think I told you guys a story. I was working at for one of my realtors, a big company, big name, and not many Hebrews there. So I walked up, and these two girls were talking about me, you know, two Edomites were talking about me. But I needed something. And I said, hey, can you guys stop talking about me for a few minutes? I said, I need to get a form. They turned red. They were embarrassed. I got the form. When I walked away, I said, oh, okay, you guys can go back and finish talking about me. They were so ashamed, they just parted ways. I mean, it was the juice of what they were saying just didn't, it wasn't good anymore because, you know, it didn't matter to me. I don't care what you say. It doesn't matter to me. You're not going to change who I am. You're not going to change the way I think. You know, so I don't live my life based on opinions of me. I am who I am. When I was born one single live birth. I wasn't born connected to anyone else. I was not a twin. I was a single live birth. I made it through the birth canal, just like all of us. I struggled, just like you did, to get here. I'm here. So it doesn't matter. Until the Most High takes me off the planet, Eliana's going to be Eliana. And nobody's going to change that. I'm a little too old to worry about opinions at this point in my life. So here's So saying all that to say, when Melech Dawid was going through, he's talking to the Most High. And he is, you know, he's taking the position that the Most High has to vindicate him, because he's speaking out of honest lips. Obviously, his enemies were lying. People will always lie on us. People will always lie on people who trust the Most High. But if you're wicked and they're wicked, they'll brag on you. I mean, they'll tell lies of it in a different category. They'll make you larger than life and brag on you when you're wicked. But when you walk with the Most High, they'll try to malign your character. They'll try to hurt you, you know, with their lies and with their mouths. They'll try to destroy you. And so Dawid is saying, hey, my lips are honest, Most High, and I need you to listen to my prayer, because I'm not being malicious. I'm not trying to, you know, do what is unrighteous in your sight. He says, let your eyes see what is right. So he's going through something, and he says, you probed my heart. You visited me at night. So, you know, sometimes the Most High will do that to us. He will come to us in the night season, and he will visit us. I'm thinking back in the scripture when it talked about Eliyahu, when he was running from Jezebel, and he ran to get away from her. Now, he had just killed 450 prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel. He had just killed him. But when the woman, when Jezebel said she was going to kill him, it put fear in him. Isn't that amazing? Here this man just slew 450 men, some muscular, some tall, some short, some fat, some stout, but he killed them. But one woman said, Eliyahu, I'm going to kill you. And he took off running. What does the scripture say? Hell had no fury like a woman scorned. She was angry. She was angry, and that sent fear into the prophet. And he ran. But when he, remember, the angel came to him and fed him, because he was running. You know, he was so exhausted. And then he fed him again, and it says, he went in the strength of that food 40 days. And he ends up in a cave, and he's hiding from Jezebel. It's amazing how we, as, you know, the followers of the Most High, the chosen of the Most High, can do one exploit today and be in fear the next. We can be bold and decree a thing in total confidence, and the next time we hear some noise, rumor, and we run, we're afraid, we're crying, Most High, help us. Well, you know, Dawid was the same. He was a mighty man. You know, Dawid could wield a sword. You know, he was what they call a bad master jammer. He could, you know, you don't mess with him in battle. Yet, he's crying to the Most High Yah about some new enemies or some continued enemies. You put him in battle one-on-one, Dawid is coming out. But here, these enemies have frightened him somehow. They vexed him. They have overpowered him somehow in his emotional state. And he's asking the Most High Yah to make a difference between him and his enemies and to help him get rid of these enemies. These were persistent enemies, persistent, stubborn enemies that will not stop. And that's why I said earlier, know that if you're going to follow after the Most High Yah, you're going to keep his commandments. You're going to walk with him. You're going to be obedient. You're going to do your repenting. You're going to try to govern your life according to the Most High Yah's Torah and Tanakh. You're going to have enemies, and they're not going to stop. It's going to be 24/7, 365. You're not going to ever have that reprieve. You will have rest on Shabbat, but you will never get away from your enemies. Know that. Arm yourselves likewise. Set your mind. And the scripture tells us, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't really wrestle against people, but spirits, okay? We have to know that. You can see the demon in people. You can see it. Don't be marveling about that. That's nothing new. I mean, that's nothing to trip out about. I talk to people and say, I saw the demon. I saw the demon in their eyes. Okay, so you saw the demon. Okay, get over it. Now, how you deal with the demon, that's really what you want to be harping on, not the fact that you saw one. How do you deal with it? They're all over the earth, and they're going to always come against you. So how do you arm yourself for this kind of a battle? Because they work through people, but sometimes these spirits work on their own. They don't need anybody to work through. Sometimes they just walk up in your house. They fly through the wall, the window, whatever, the roof, the floor, and they torment you in your own house, in your room, in your kitchen, in your bed. These spirits will come against you on their own accord. They don't always work through people, but sometimes they do work through people, but not all the time. And they can do a combination. You could be out in the day and deal with demonic activity in people, a group of people, and come home or be on the bus, and bam, spirits are harassing you on the bus, and nobody can see them, and there is no flesh body that they're working through. They're just working on their own. We are in a battle. The battle always rages. We have to know that we're in a battle. We have to set ourselves, our minds. We guard our minds through Torah. We know that we know the words of Torah, because we have to remember something about demons and spirits. Most High created them too. These chose to rebel. They know the Most High. They know His word. They know how powerful the Most High is. They're on a different level. They're a different species from us. But all of us, everything walking, breathing, flying, haunting, whatever it's doing, whatever entity it may be, the Most High created it. Or it's a combination of someone the Most High, or something the Most High created, and another of the Most High's created beings. And it has come to pass. But I'm going to tell you what, it is not outside of the grasp, the reach, and the power of the Most High, nor His word, which He tells us is a sword. It's a two-edged sword. And it can not only yield itself and be wielded in the natural, but it can be wielded in the spiritual realm as well. And that's why we have to know Torah. We have to know Tanakh. These are simple words. When you read it, it's the story of Dawid here that we're reading in Tehillim 17. It's just a prayer of a man. But when you understand the depth of it, you can wield this in the spiritual realm, and it becomes a mighty weapon with the right understanding. It becomes a mighty weapon, and it can rout spiritual beings, and it can rout natural ones. So when you don't forget, you know, do not forget that we belong to the Most High. Yeah, this is a battle. We're not out of the battle yet. It will be a final battle. The Most High will wage that war. Yahushua will be there to fight, and those of us who will be fighting with Him will fight with Him. However, we're not at that point right now. So you got to make it through every day. So how do you make it through the day when you have harassing spirits speaking to your mind? How do you make it through the day when these demonic beings are telling you to kill yourself, jump off a bridge, hang yourself, poison yourself, cut yourself, bleed to death? How do you make it through the day? You make it through the day by meditating on Torah, by meditating in the Tehillim. There are Tehillim that are not as gloomy as these Tehillim that we are reading here at the beginning. There are Tehillim of praise. There are Tehillim of thanksgiving. Focus on those. Get the Tehillim inside of you. Get the Torah get the Tanakh on the inside, not just reading it, but know it, eat it, eat it. The scripture says, "Oh, taste and see that Yahuwah is good. Taste it. Taste it for yourself. Know it for yourself. Study Tehillim. Study Torah. Read through the scriptures. Meditate on the scriptures. Rehearse the scriptures. Know it like you know your own self. Know it like the back of your hand. Know it. Know it like you know the day you were born. Know it like you know your phone number. Know Tehillim. Know Torah. No Tanakh. How do you know it? You read it. You read it. You study it. You rehearse it. You study it out. You look at it. You read it. You speak it. When you have Torah, knowing Torah like that inside of you, and those spirits speak, you can speak back. This is what Yahushua did in the Brit Hadashah. When he confronted Hasatan in the wilderness, at his weakest moment, Yahushua spoke Torah. He spoke Torah with authority. When he was confronted by the Sadducees, the Pharisees, he spoke Torah to them. It angered them because Torah is powerful. They knew Torah. What did he tell them? Go and search the Tanakh. For in it you think you have eternal life. But it is that testifies of me. He spoke that word to them. They were angry because it was true. When you wield Torah in truth, it is very powerful. But you must know it. You must exercise in Torah. You must become strengthened in Torah. If any of us are coming into a discipline, fencing, archery, running, if we're going to train for an Olympic event, we're not going to sit around watching television. You want to go for the gold. That means you're going to get up very early. You're going to discipline yourself. You're going to practice. You're going to eat right. You're going to do what you need to do to perfect yourself for running that race or being challenged so that you can win the gold, that you can, you know, go for the gold. You might get the bronze or the silver. You might not even get a prize. But if you practice, you will be fit for the race. You'll be fit for the event. It's the same thing. How do we think it's different? You need to be fit in Torah and Tanakh in order to walk with the Most High Yah. You have to be fit in Torah and Tanakh, not just read it, not just pull it out so you can throw digs at people. No, 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 no. Know it, understand it, be governed by it, be changed by it. Let it work in you, through you. That's what knowing the Torah is about. That's what the relationship with the Most High is about. Knowing his words, understanding his character. Yahushua said, hey, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How do you learn of Yahushua? It's in Torah. It's from Bereshit to Revelation. Yahushua is spoken of throughout the volume of the book. How do you learn of him? Read the book. Read it. Know it. Meditate. You will come to know Yahushua. Yahushua is the essence of Yah. If you want to know who he is, read the book. Understand. Read the hidden books, the Apocrypha. It'll tell you clearly in the book of Adam and Eve. The Most High Yah told Adam, Chava, I will come to you 5,500 years. Who would come to them? Yah. The Most High Yah said, I will come to you in 5,500 years. you don't know that, find out. Find the books of Adam and Eve. Read them. Read Torah, read Tanakh, read the apocryphal books, the hidden books. They will tell you what you need to know. It's not found in watching a Steven Spielberg film. It's not found in watching demonic movies. See, those movies will tell you how the kingdom of Hasatan works. It'll tell you how your adversary does his business. But it's not going to tell you about how the Most High does his. If you want to know how the Most High does his business, stay in the Most High's books. If you want to be a servant of Hasatan, stay in his fantasy movies. Because that's what you're learning. You're learning witchcraft. You're learning demonic. You're learning incantations. You're learning how to cast spells. You're learning how they love to eat blood and how they love to murder. That's what you get when you watch the garbage TV and the garbage movies. They're not teaching you anything about the Most High. They're teaching you all about Hasatan. They're putting fear, and the Most High said, I have not given you the spirit of fear. They're putting fear in your heart. They're making you think the Most High is not powerful. They're making you think the Most High is a joke. They're making you think the Most High is not going to do what he said he's going to do. And magnifies Hasatan. It makes you think he's larger than life, that he is the greatest entity in the universe, and he is not. Hasatan is not the greatest entity in the universe. He's fallen. He will be destroyed. He has an appointed end. Follow him. You will have an appointed end as well. Follow the Most High Yah. You will have life. Back to the Tehillim. He said, you probed my heart, you visited me at night, and you assayed me without finding evil thoughts. Why? Because Melech Dawid was not dwelling in the realm of Hasatan. See, a lot of us are dwelling in that realm. I was just right there. We dwell in the realm of evil. We fill our souls with evil. Instead of reading the scriptures, we watch a demonic movie. We watch all that stuff. We fill ourselves with that stuff. We wonder why we feel defeated. Because we are feeling, you are what you eat. Okay? That's all it is. You are what you eat. You eat all the garbage from your adversary, you're going to be garbage. You eat the life-giving substance through the Torah, Tanakh, or the Most High Yah, you will have life. You will be a light giver. You will bring light. You eat garbage, you will be garbage. You eat good, you will be good. So this is what the Most High is saying. This is what Dawid is saying. Hey, search me and know me. You're not going to find all that stuff in my heart. You know, those what Hasatan is offering is adultery, fornication, lust, homosexuality, pedophilia. He's a transgender, a transsexual. He's offering murder. He's offering deceit, lies, covetousness, blasphemy. That's all he's offering you. When you avail to his kingdom, and his kingdom is the media. He uses the media, and he exposes his kingdom. He forces it on you. Turn on something, and they're talking about it. Your mind wasn't even on that subject, and they'll bring you down. Greed, you know, he's always, you know, showing people how to be rich or whatever. You know, there's nothing wrong with having wealth, but the scripture tells me that the blessing of Yahuwah make it rich, and he has no sorrow. You're not going to be sorrowful over it. If you're doing stuff that you think is making you rich, and you got to watch your back, and you got a lot of anxiety, you can't sleep at night, that's not the Most High. That's not the Most High leading you. Most High is not going to lead you into something like that. You're stealing people's money, you see a person, you taking people's money, you running, hiding. Oh, that's not the Most High. I'm sorry. You have been so deceived. That is not the Most High. That's not how he works. This is what Dawid was saying. Hey, search me. Know me. You're not going to find those thoughts inside of me. Dawid is after something here. He's after the Most High seeing him and seeing his integrity so that he can help him, because there's a time when you're going to need the help of the Most High in a very bad way. And if you're out there doing evil, if you're out there being deceived and following after Hasatan, and you really need the Most High's help, it's going to be hard-pressed to get that help from him. It's going to be really hard-pressed to get that help because he's looking at your deeds and what you're doing daily, on a daily basis, on a daily basis. So he said, and you have saved me without finding evil thoughts that should not pass my lips. As for me, as for what others do, by words from your lips, Most High, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps hold steadily to your paths. My feet do not slip. We have to walk in the path of Torah and Tanakh. We have to keep the commandments. 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 Don't let anybody tell you that the most that Yahushua has done away with the commandments. Okay, if he has done away with the commandments, and the commandment they're telling you he's done away with is the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath, which is the fourth commandment. How is it that the Most High has done away with the fourth commandment, but not the rest, the other nine? That doesn't make sense. Please don't let people deceive you. Read it for yourself. Please read the Torah. Please go back and read the Torah. Understand it. The Torah is the first five books of Moshe. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Please go back and read it. If you really don't know it, don't be ashamed. Just read it. Just start today. Just say, I'm going to start reading through the books. I'm not looking for nothing. I'm not trying to get a revelation. I'm just going to read it for myself. Learn what's in there for you. Because this is what the Most High is really requiring of us. All the rest of it is commentary. Everything else is stories and commentary. Do you know that? The meat of what we need to keep to follow the Most High is found in those first five books of Moshe. And it's particularly in Devarim, the last book, Deuteronomy. Well, Genesis, yeah. Hold on. It is the last book. It's the one where he recounts the whole crux of the matter for the Hebrew people. Yeah, I believe it is Devarim. I'm sorry. Sometimes I'll say something and then I'll second guess myself and then I'll feel like, wait, I got to go check that. But it is Devarim. It's that last book, okay? It's that last book. That's where it retells the story of everything for us, okay? And if you really want to get some revelation on that, read the Book of Jubilees. After you read through Genesis or Bereshit, Exodus, Shemot, Leviticus, Vayikra, Numbers, Bamidbar, and Devarim, Deuteronomy. After you read all those five books, the first five, after you read them, then read the Book of Jubilees. Or read Bereshit and read Jubilees. Then read, Shemot and read Jubilees. Then read, Vayikra and read Jubilees. Then read Bamidbar and read Jubilees. And then read Devarim and read Jubilees. I mean, read, Genesis and read it like, take your time. Know it. Read the scriptures so you will know. Don't let anybody deceive you. Just because somebody's standing in a pulpit with a microphone and a $200 or $500 suit, don't let people lead you wrong. Read the scripture for yourself. Because I'm going to tell you what. Most of us were probably also born a single live birth. Some of us were born, we were in the womb with a twin, but we each came out individually. Unless you are connected by skin and blood vessels to your twin. But all of us came through the birth canal. And that means each one of us will stand before the Most High Yah. And nobody will stand with us. I even believe that if you're connected, when you stand at that day, you're going to have your own individual body. So when you stand before the Most High Yah and you've lived 30, 40, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and you never read the whole counsel of the law, and then you stand before the Most High Yah and you say, but they told me, you know, he's going to pimp slap you. You should have read it for yourself. How is it that you're walking around on the face of the planet and you will not read the word? Read it for yourself. Know it for yourself. Study it for yourself. If you don't know how to read, get it on tape. Get it on DVD. Put it in your VCR. They even have it where you can put it in your VCR, I think, and they'll have it read. And the words, it'll highlight the words for you. You can learn how to read the Torah and Tanakh on TV by putting in a DVD. I'm telling you, there are so many ways for you to know this word for yourself. Know it for yourself. There's no excuse. You shouldn't be walking around. None of us should be walking around ignorant of what the commandments of the Most High Yah are for his people. We should read it. We should read it again. Read it slowly. Read it slowly. Take it word by word, sentence by sentence, line by line. Read it. Read it. Make notes. Get yourself 4 or 5 note tablets and take notes on what you're reading. Know it for yourself. And then see if the Most High has changed. You're going to find out that from Genesis to Revelation, he is requiring us to keep his commandments. He's requiring it. We have to know his commandments to keep them. In the church, they tell you, oh, he did away with the commandments. There's only 2 now. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. For on these 2 hang all the law and the prophets. You don't even know all the law or the prophets. Understand that first. Then you can understand why Yahushua said, on these 2 hang all the law. Know the law. Read the law. Study the law. Understand it. Then you can walk with confidence. But if you don't even know it and you're running around hiding behind them 2 scriptures, you're in trouble. You're out of touch with what the Most High wants for you. So this is why we have to study. We have to know it. Dawid could say this because Dawid, it was required of the king. It was required of every melech of Israel to write his own Torah. He had to write the Torah. He had to write the Torah himself. And that's why they could know if they were sinning against the Most High. They had to write their own Torah. Now, if they didn't write it and they had a scribe write it, you knew they were going to be in trouble, because when you put that pen to paper and that hand starts moving on those letters, you are training your members to obey the Torah of the Most High Yah. Now, we're not perfect. We do make mistakes. We make many mistakes because we live in a fallen world. But I tell you what, it is a beautiful thing to discipline and train yourself to live under the Torah, to live under the Tanakh, to live under the writings that the Most High has given to us. Know all of them. Find all of the books. Read them. Study them. Meditate. So you can know how to please the Most High Yah, so you can know how to live your life and according to his commandments on a daily basis, how you can handle small matters and large matters, insignificant things and significant things, matters of the heart and matters of state. If you know Torah and Tanakh, you will be well equipped in this life to handle every situation that comes your way. Remember, we are in a battle. We must have all of our arsenal. We must have all of our ammunition. We must have reserve supplies, backup. And not only that, you must be skilled. You must be skilled with using your weapon. This is a sword. And it's a powerful supernatural sword. I was watching a History Channel or something. They were talking about, it was Ancient Aliens on the History Channel the other night, and they were talking about every one of the writings say that the gods, you know, come down, the angel, the angelic beings or whatever came down, and they all had some kind of a device or a sword or stick or something that could shoot out lightning. And then they went into this one place and found where, I believe in Ireland or something, they found these rocks, and they were burned, and they had sustained so much heat that they were smooth as glass. And they said it would have had to have a heat that was over 2,000 degrees sustained for a long period of time in order to kind of melt these rocks into this smooth glass-like finish. And then they were looking at some structures, some stones, like 40,000-pound stones that were placed one on top of the other. And they were then again talking about a device that had to, like, sound resonance that would lift those stones. But then they realized that those stones had been fused together by a heat source that was pointed at it, that was of a high degree, high intensity, high enough to melt rock like lava and fuse it together in a seam that you can't even put a human hair through. Now, that's powerful. Now, the Most High of Yah has given us his Torah and Tanakh, even much more powerful weapon, much more powerful weapon than what they say the ancient aliens used to create civilizations and to wage war. We have a much more powerful weapon in Torah and Tanakh. Let us learn how to wield it. Let us learn how to handle it, because it's important. It's very important for our life. I'm going to get ready to stop here at this point in my teaching this morning. And I'm excited that I was able to get on again, for one, which to me is a great blessing. And I want to finish, because there's some other points in here that I want to bring out when I finish on this to heal them, because I saw some other things in here that really stuck out to me. But I hope that this morning I was able to encourage you. I hope that I was able to give you some nuggets that you can put and apply to your daily life, that you can take, start working with. One of the things that I want to say that's most important, study this. You know, read your scripture. You know, however you want to read it, and whatever translation floats your boat, but start reading it, and you will be led to a more fuller translation, or a more correct, according to, you know, the Most High's direction in your life. You will be led to that translation, but start reading it is what I'm saying, and especially read through Genesis through Deuteronomy, because a lot of times our understanding has been these will be the mills, Ten Commandments. You know, many people haven't really read through each of these books. We have some basic knowledge, basic story of Chava and Adam, of the garden. We have some basic knowledge, but read through, take your time. If you're a person that has not done that, take the time to do it. They have the Bible on audio. If you have MP3, go get it. And then just listen. If you travel, you're on trains a lot or buses, or you know, you use public transportation, hey, you can get a lot of value out of listening. But you have to be in a place where your spirit is very quiet and still for you to really absorb what you're hearing. You know, even when you're reading, you have to be in a quiet place to really, really, really absorb it in your spirit. So take time to read through these books. It's basic stories. It's going to talk about the life of a people, the direction of a people, the Hebrew people. But within every line of scripture, there is powerful words there. There's a powerful concept behind it. You're going to start to see between the lines. You're going to start to see the meaning in the meaning. You're going to start to see the message in the message if you take time and read it. And then read through the entire Tanakh. Take your time to do that. Meditate on it. This is so much power. That's why Dawid could say, "Thy words, O Most High Yah, have I hidden in my heart." that I might not sin against thee. And we know that he wasn't perfect. However, hiding the words or the devar of Torah in your heart is great value. It is a great restraint to sin. We will be tempted. It's part of the battle. Part of our battle is the temptations that come against us that tempt our flesh. But if you have the Torah inside of you, it is of great value. It is of great value and will become a great restraint to help you resist the wiles of Hasatan. And Hasatan will flee from you. All right, well, I want to say shalom. And I just want to thank you so much for joining me again on the Wisdom of Torah, sponsored by Beth Shalom Mashiach. We are a newly forming congregation in Merced, California, and we are looking for people to work with us and to help us reach particularly the Hebrew community in the Central Valley. But anyone who wants to sojourn with us is welcome as long as they're willing to come under the full control of the Most High Yah and to keep his commandments and to be obedient to his Torah. Shalom and shalom.
That I
see.